one other little part of their testimony that involves me that I guess I'll share is I remember I was driving down the road one day with Billy. I think we were going to the Mannheim lot, that back way, and we were talking about marriage and courtship, and one thing led to another over the next few days. And I don't remember how I said it all now, Billy, because that was 3 years ago now, I guess. 2004, wasn't it? And but somehow the subject came up of who. Okay, we established with Billy, okay, he was ready. And I think it was me who brought it up first, or was it Mom, about Alta. Have you, or I think we asked you, had you considered her? I forget how it was all brought up now. And I think, you know, his answer was yes. I mean, it wasn't like, yes, she's the only one, but it's like I think she had caught his attention in some areas. And the story behind the story is how she caught our attention was when she went back home to her father, who, as she says, is not spiritual. We knew her before then because of her brother, where she was living. She had been down here. I think he'd even maybe stayed in our house at Bible school or something. Alta, is that right? And so we'd gotten to know her, and we really appreciated her. We thought, you know, what a precious girl, what a precious gem, and she's a sweetheart, and, you know, loves the Lord and all these things. And then when we heard she was going home, at first we were like, oh, you know, this is going to be hard. And then all of a sudden, as we thought about it, we thought, wow, okay, there is really some depth to this girl. And then we got to talk to her after she went home, and she never complained. She didn't fuss about it, and it wasn't easy there. But she had a good attitude. She chose to submit, and God gave her, I think her testimony would be, as she said here, grace to do it with joy. She didn't do it as a grief. She did it with joy. And then I thought, whoa, there really is depth here. You know, this is exciting. This is spiritual stuff going on here. And so about all this same time is when Billy and I were driving down the road one day on our way to the Mannheim lot, and she was the first girl that came to my mind, you know, for Billy, because I thought, wow, this girl is, you know, very precious. And so then when we brought it up, he quickly concurred, and one thing led to another, then you heard the rest of the story. So sometimes, my point is, sometimes when you do things and you think nobody's watching you, and you're walking out your Christian life and making decisions that are even hard decisions, you might be surprised who's watching you. I don't know how to say all that, but, you know, other people do notice, you know, our lives.
Well, kind of a privilege to share our testimonies about a, you know, we were asked to share about how to maintain a pure relationship, of how we as a couple kept ourselves pure during our courtship. I guess, first of all, it started when we had our first date. We decided that we want hands-off courtship. And and we set a guideline for ourselves that we will not touch. And we did shake hands for the first couple times, but after that we decided that we'd be best to refrain from that, because we both loved touch, and it was for our good and benefit to refrain from that. And my encouragement to each one of the young people here is that if you are tempted to even touch or even shake hands, if you are tempted with those thoughts of, you know, keep yourselves pure for that. And when we would rub shoulders or even bump into each other a little bit, we did apologize. We apologized for, you know, touching, and that I'm glad we did that, and we have no regrets on our courtship of how we did kept ourselves pure, and we have no guilt either. And the first time we hugged each other after our wedding, why we that was a blessing to, you know, do that for the first time. To even touch for the first time, that was a blessing. And I have a verse, actually three verses to read, that in our start of our courtship, I made this our prayer. It's Psalms 105, verses 3 to 5. It says, "Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." Now, if we seek the Lord on our courtship, God will be there with us. And that was our prayer at the beginning of our courtship, or at least it was my prayer anyway. So, God bless you. I'll let my wife share now.
For me, I had an impure past, not necessarily committing deeds in my body, but in my heart I was very impure. And so the Lord granted me repentance just 2 weeks before we started courting, before I even knew that Eli was interested in me. It was Bible school, and the Lord worked in my heart, and I was able to dump it all out and repent, and I felt clean and in my right mind for the first time in my life. And so I was so, when my dad brought Eli's wishes to me, that he was wanting to court me, I was so glad that I had dealt with all that, because if I had gone into courtship impure in my heart, it would have been awful. But I was totally free and clear, and able to, I mean, my thoughts weren't even impure in our courtship. It was such a blessing. And because we had set those guidelines to have a hands-off courtship, I mean, you know, there were times, especially after we were engaged, that I longed to hold his hand or hug him. I knew we couldn't, and I wanted to save that for after we were married, and it was such a blessing to be able to, on our wedding day, finally touch each other and know that we had no guilt and no regret. Especially on our engagement, I really wanted to give him a hug. But it was a blessing to be pure in my heart and come to marriage pure.
Yeah, we praise God that he did keep ourselves pure through our courtship. I know there's been times that we were tempted to even touch, but we were like, we can't do it. And praise God that he kept us pure throughout our courtship. May God bless you.
Greetings to each of you this morning. It's a privilege to stand here and to have some of those godly roots, those godly desires and roots. And I appreciate what Brother Eli shared, and that was our heart. And it's like Jenny has said already, it wasn't even a temptation. If those desires were there, it was so set in our hearts that there wasn't much of a temptation there. We were asked to share a little bit of some difficulties or some differences that we faced and how to work through them. We titled our courtship testimony, "When It Takes a While to Fall in Love." And really, that was, you know, we tend to look at, as young people, we see these glorious courtship testimonies, and I was that way. I remember when I was 19, and so I thought, God won't be able to speak to me that way. I'm just too carnal. He won't be able to speak to me. But for a few years I waited, but what we tend to do is, even courtship, we tend to look at it as smooth and perfect. And from the outside it often looks that way. You know, how many of us see a courtship and we know they're struggling with something? You just don't see it. We usually don't see the bumps and questions, when in reality, there's nothing wrong with having questions when you're going through your courtship. I stepped into courtship in faith and peace. Not having a sure, like a light from heaven or a just this is the way, you know, this is for sure God's will, but I walked into it in peace. It's taking steps of faith that this was the right thing to do. I spent time in prayer, and also spent a lot of time talking with Jenny's daddy. To spend time they got to know me, I got to know them some. And you would think after that much time that things would go smoothly. Once you know it's in God's will and so on, but really we are human. We need to get to know each other. We went into courtship not knowing each other very well at all. Jenny hardly knew me. And as time went on, we started seeing who we were, who each other was, more and more. And things started coming out that we weren't really ready for. We started wondering how things will work out. I remember a time when we parted and we didn't know if things will go on. But the blessing was our parents and that peace that stayed there. Some of our differences, there were some differences in personality, differences in makeup and so on, and some of those things faced us. But the blessing was we faced them head on. We talked about it. We didn't just hide them. We didn't just bottle up and, well, I don't understand this, but I'm not supposed to be feeling this way in courtship, so I'm just going to be quiet. We talked about it. Just some of our differences. One thing is decision making. I like to take time and think through things, and I'm slower to make decisions, where Jenny soon knows what she wants to do. We think differently. I tend to just take time, you know, and it takes me a while to think through things, and Jenny's much quicker just to have something together, you know what she wants to do. Jenny is generally more talkative than I am. And some of these things, as being a leader and feeling a little, those things seemed to be a threat to me. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to lead out properly. But that blessing of authority, and that's so important, is learn to be under authority before you get there so that you know how to relate to them when you need help. That and the assurance that God will have His way were great blessings. You know, yes, there were questions. There were times when I went home from that time and I didn't know what's going to happen. But there was that peace. There was something in my heart I expected will go on. But I didn't know for sure. And it wasn't an easy time to go through, but God knew that we needed that. And I told Jenny over that time, I said, we may find that this was the best thing that could have happened. We were encouraged to face them now. We were encouraged to face these differences and these issues now, rather than getting to marriage and after marriage these things really get out and then what do? We were encouraged to face them now. And we took time to look at them squarely, to look at them, look at ourselves. What is my need in this? And we were encouraged to limit our contact for a little bit, just slow down our writing and so on, so we can focus on ourselves. Because it's a distraction. It just face it, if you're in a relationship like that, it can be a distraction. And if you take time to say, what is my need? As time went on, we looked at things squarely and consulting our authorities and so on, our hearts were drawing closer together. But we were curbing that. We were taking it slowly for a little bit. I'll let you share.
Well, Mike Mervyn said, you tend to think that everybody's courtship is going well, and then when it comes to your turn and you have these bumps, it's like, okay, what's wrong with me? You know, why am I facing these things, and am I normal, and is this really going to work out? And I know I cried a lot of tears wondering, what's wrong with me? You know, how is this all going to work out? And yet I believe it was God's way for us. Like Marvin said, we didn't step into our courtship. We stepped into it with the peace of God. And I had that too. As we face these uncertainties, as I prayed it through, the bottom line always came back to the peace of God in my heart, and just letting that peace rule. Okay, Lord, I have peace for the next step. I have peace for the next step, and I don't know where for sure this is going to end, but I do have peace for the next step. And so that was a blessing. Like Marvin said, as we discovered that our personalities were very different and how that affected the way we related to each other, I was very blessed. Papa encouraged me. He said, you are both spiritual young people. Face these things now rather than waiting till after you're married. You might as well work through them now. That's what courtship is for. And I was very blessed with that. Marvin mentioned some of the things in where we're different. Another thing that I really faced was through our courtship, for some reason, God brought up into my heart my independence. I had a very independent, strong-willed personality, and I needed to work through some of those things, and I'm blessed. I don't know why God used courtship to bring that out, but He did, and it was a blessing. And like Marvin said, too, as we went on faith, it took a while to fall in love. It took a while. We just built that friendship. We built our relationship, but then, you know, maybe it's just because that's the way I am, but when I fell in love, I really fell in love. So the feelings did come.
I guess back to, you know, the falling in love, we started by faith. We started in it. We didn't know each other very well, but I felt this is God's will, and we walked ahead in faith. And yes, our authorities there was something they did not want, and that is going into marriage without that love, that bubbling, you know, where we just feel this is God's will and walk into it. And that came, that, you know, as time went on, that love matured. Our courtship was a happy, sweet year in life. From beginning to end, it was about 13 months. So some courtships are short, some are longer. But we learn to give our hearts to each other, and we were ready for our wedding, and we had a very wonderful day. And those differences are still there, but we weren't surprised with them. We weren't shocked after we were married that this is the person that I married. We worked through those things. We didn't hide them. We didn't wear our Sunday clothes all the time in our courtship. The way that we worked through these things, I would say, was authority. Number one, authority, and these aren't really in a special order, but being honest with them and letting them guide us. Being willing to say, this is where things are at. Communication, that's a very important time. Don't rush ahead. That's what we took time with it. A settled peace and recognizing and dealing with ourselves. Psalm 37:5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And I would say, for us, that underlying peace was probably the main foundation. Because if we wouldn't have had that, and we would have faced these things, we would have wondered, is this really the right thing to do? But there was that underlying peace. Thank you, and God bless you.
Yeah, we were supposed to share family verses and songs today, but I guess our testimony got so long that we decided to just share that. And we'd like to, you know, we think it's a miracle that we even got together, that we were 1,600 miles apart. She was in a different country, and I was here in Pennsylvania. I had just left the colony maybe 2 years before, and she had been working in Haiti for about 5 years. And, you know, I think a lot of those things were really, we feel like they were really a miracle that we even got to know each other. And, you know, I'd like to start out by saying that I left about 10 years of my adult life, and I was not converted. I was living in sin. I was living in bad relationships and living in a way that was very ungodly. And, you know, when I moved here, I had a, you know, a desire to start a new life and to please God with everything that I knew. I was walking in all the light that I had. You know, as this opportunity came up for me to go to Haiti, I was really excited about it. Marriage was the last thing on my mind. I went there as this is going to be a wonderful experience. I'll be able to, you know, experience a different country, and I was really looking forward to it as far as teaching me how missions work, how it, just the whole picture of serving and being involved in other people's lives. And I can say that marriage was the last thing on my mind when I, you know, went there. And what I'd like to do here today is kind of, she'll share and then I'll share. And then I'd like to just bring, you know, our hearts together to share with you how we came together. So we'll just take turns and go back and forth where both of us were at certain times and how it worked out. So.
Yeah, I went to Haiti in the fall of 98, and it was a vision of my heart for years to serve in a mission field. So it was kind of an answered prayer. I always thought I would never get married. For some reason, I just didn't think that was God's calling for my life. But so I was very excited when I went to Haiti, and I was serving the Lord. I was busy with ministering. I was very fulfilled in what I was doing. And but it seemed like the longer I was there, the more I felt my singleness and how alone I was. And it wasn't until towards the end of my 5 years there that I realized that the Lord is preparing my heart for something else. And I wasn't sure what it was, and I wasn't really to even face that it might be marriage, because after all, I can do this by myself. I don't really need someone else. But the Lord was slowly breaking my independent spirit and preparing me for my precious husband.
I would say when I got there, I quickly really respected and honored what she was doing. You know, she didn't really catch my attention at that time, but I did really have a high respect and honor, which I very rarely felt towards her. You know, the way she was pouring out her life, you know, leaving the house at 6:30 in the morning, you know, and ministering to 100, 150 people every day that had walked across 3, 4, 5 miles of mountains when it's hot, you know, and they typically didn't smell that good. And I felt like it was really something that I'd never seen before. And I would say probably after about, you know, a little while, I started really enjoying her sweet personality. I started enjoying her friendship. And it was probably about 2 months when I realized that this is really a wonderful person here. And I realized that I loved her and that I wouldn't mind spending the rest of my life with her. And that was about 2 months into my stay. And I was there for a total of 4 months. So I was kind of in a really hard position there. Her dad wasn't around. I didn't even know her dad personally. And, you know, I started struggling. Should I talk to her? Should I tell her how I feel? Should I hint? Should I feel her out? I kind of reasoned it out. Well, I can't really talk to her dad. You know, she's not really accountable anymore. She's down here, her own person, you know. And I was really tempted to show how I feel and to go in that direction. But something always warned me that, you know, you shouldn't do that. I don't think that's right. So I stayed there the next 2 months, and God protected me from, you know, talking to her and from letting her know how I feel. It was a really, I guess you could call it a bittersweet experience. I really enjoyed being there. I really enjoyed her company, but yet I wasn't allowed to let my heart go. I wasn't allowed to, to share with her how I really feel. You know, and then, you know, after those 2 months, I came home and I was still struggling with some of the same things. How can I pull her away from what she's doing there? You know, she was serving 100, 150 people a day. You know, how can I pull her out of this work? And, just for myself and to, I was struggling with those things for about 2 months, which were a real test in my life and a real time of walking and obedience to, you know, the best of my knowledge, the best that I knew at that time.
When Gary first came to Haiti, he was just another of the many visitors that came. We had a lot of visitors in and out, and because of my heavy work schedule, just the busyness of keeping up with clinic, I didn't often get real involved with the visitors. But he had actually come with a 2-week ticket and was going to go home. And he enjoyed himself so much there, interacting and just learning a new culture and learning about the mission, that he decided to stay for. He extended his ticket a little longer. But I'm not really sure how long it was. It probably was only a couple weeks until I was noticing this young man, and first I denied it in my heart, you know, he'll go home soon, this will be, you know, he'll just be one of the many, one of the crowd, but the longer he stayed there, I started noticing, especially his godliness, his earnest, he seemed to have such a fervor for the Lord. He was so interested in what was happening in the church there. He was interested in the people, in the culture. And I especially remember the one time we were dealing with a girl that was possessed with demons, and he took a week out to fast and pray for her, and it caught my attention that he would be so interested in the work of the Lord there. And I really enjoyed his boyish spirit, just how he got involved in things and how he served us missionaries. And I came to a point where I realized that, you know, I'm allowing something to happen in my heart, and I didn't want to, because I had had experiences before where I allowed my heart to go out and it didn't work. It wasn't right. It takes away from your devotion to the Lord, and it allows something to take place in your heart that later you regret, because you have to deal with it. You have to put it somewhere. And I surrendered it to the Lord. I gave it up, and it kept coming back, and I would lay it down again and surrender to the Lord again. And it was a time of really testing my faith, because all of a sudden I realized that some of the singleness I had been feeling in the last couple of months was related to this. And I'm not quite sure how to put it all in words, but it was a time of the Lord just, you know, me giving up and walking in faith and just being to allowing the Lord to just strip me and break me.
Oh, I was back home by then, you know, and still not sure if I should go ahead with this. You know, I felt in my heart that it's the right direction to go, but yet there were so many things that I wasn't clear with. You know, I hadn't talked to anybody about it at that point. So, and then about that time, the political situation in Haiti turned really bad, and all the missionaries from CAM, you know, the missionaries from ILIG, they all had to come home. And, you know, for me, I think that was all the encouragement I needed to say, okay, you know, this, she's home now, and I think I had heard that she'll be home for about a year. So I said, you know, in my heart, I thought, okay, that's just a little open door. I'll walk through that one. So I talked to my first authority, which at that time would have been Ed. I was living with him at the time, and he was encouraging. And, you know, I talked to one of the elders, how they felt about it. And, you know, I got some more encouragement, and it seemed like there were just little steps I took. And, you know, all the doors started opening up, and, you know, and at that point, I didn't even know your dad, you know, and Ed was nice enough to call the first time for me and introduce me who I was. And, you know, and we went out to meet him, you know, at a restaurant, and we sat down, and I kicked my feet under the table and very nervous and intimidated. And he looks at me and with that mop of gray hair and blue eyes. And so, Gary, what exactly is it that you want? And I kind of crouched down and, you know, said I'd like to start seeing your daughter. And one of the first things he told me, he said, well, I hope she doesn't know anything about this, you know. And I was just like, whew. You know, yeah, as far as I know, she doesn't. You know, I kept my heart as good as I could, and, you know, I didn't talk to her about it. And, you know, at that time, I was really glad, you know, I started seeing the wisdom of, you know, the way I kept myself. And, you know, I really think just that one little point made a big difference to him, because he said, you know, all his daughters, she's the second youngest. And all his daughters before, all the boys had come to him first. So I would have been the first one to not do it that way. And it would have been hard for him, I think. I think I would have been off to a rough start. And so I felt like that was, you know, even though it was a real struggle for me to do that, yet I felt like in my heart at that time that was the right way to go. And I walked in obedience, and I definitely received a blessing a very short time later, you know, for that.
Gary came home the end of January, and very soon after, like you said, things began happening in the country, and the mission board decided that we're just going to come home. I had kind of been feeling burnout before that, and I had actually asked to come home for 6 months to a year. I felt like I just needed some time to collect myself and just have some time for. I felt like the busyness of the work there had really allowed me to drift in my relationship with the Lord. It seemed like often there was so much ministering and pouring out that there was not much time left to replenish that you were pouring out. And so it wasn't maybe 2 or 3 weeks after Gary came home that I also came home. And the first couple weeks were taken up with just adjusting back to American life and reconnecting with my family. And but through it all, he was still kind of on my heart, and I didn't quite understand why. You know, I kept laying it down, and I kept surrendering it. And God used that time to work a closeness in my relationship with the Lord that was very sweet to me. It seemed like I came to the end of my independence and feeling like, you know, I can do this by myself. Even that independence has often even gone into my walk with the Lord, where I kind of took things into my own hand. And the Lord really, that was a time of just really seeing myself and bringing me to the end of myself. And I just, maybe a week or two before Gary came to Dad, I came to a place of such sweet contentment and just being totally content in the Lord and in His love, and just experiencing a freedom in my heart that, you know, whatever the future holds, I was the Lord's. Gary had, Brother Ed actually had called Dad about a week before I knew anything about it. And this one Saturday, Dad went off to this mysterious brothers' meeting. He was meeting with some brethren from the church. That's all Mom told me. I had no clue what was going on. But anyway, he came home pretty late that evening and came walking into the room where I was sitting, and he said, "Well, Aunt Jill, you'll never guess where I was, who I was with." And I said, "No, because I was still under the impression that he was at a brothers' meeting, and I figured it was something to do with the church or something." And he said, "Well, I met with Gary Wirth."
Yeah, okay, when she knew about it, I guess when he told you about it, I had to wait 3 whole days for my answer. I'm still not sure what took her that long to decide. I guess the Lord knew I was a very task-oriented person, and He gave me a woman a girl that really goes at it. From there on, it was a real blessing. Our courtship went, I would say, very smooth. One thing though that I want to share that was a real blessing to us, about halfway through, I think we courted for about 3 months before we got engaged, and when I started thinking about, you know, getting engaged, the Lord brought to my attention some things from my past that she didn't know about. And I started struggling in my spirit with it, you know, how can I marry this girl? And she doesn't even know who I was, you know, what I was involved in. And yet, I for some reason at that time, I thought, you know, if I share those things with her, I'm history. I mean, she'll walk away from everything. But yet, I couldn't really live with myself to, you know, in a sense, deceive her into, you know, marrying this godly young man. That was a totally different person 4 years ago. And, you know, so, you know, I finally decided I'm going to share it with her. I don't care. Even if we don't get married, you know, I feel like that's something I have to do. You know, and I opened up to her and, you know, told her who I had been, things that had happened in my life. And I think that was one of the highlights of our courtship. Mm-hmm. The love I received, the acceptance I received was, to me, almost shocking. And, you know, I think what it did for us was, I never struggled to be vulnerable again with her. I never struggled to be honest, to confess things, to talk about temptations in my life. And, you know, I feel like that thing propelled us so far in our courtship and also into our marriage, that we've always been clear with each other. There's nothing between us. I'm not hiding anything. And, you know, I praise the Lord that, you know, I walked in those little steps of obedience and was able to, you know, establish that kind of trust.
Yeah, that was a very growing time for us. It was very, very precious. I grew up in my parents were Amish, and they were converted before I was born. I grew up in a Mennonite home. So I was very protected growing up because of Mom and Dad's upbringing, they were very protective of us children, and we were very innocent. And so first when Gary told me some of these things, I was, you know, a little shocked in my mind, in my heart, and yet the honesty that he shared it with brought a trust between, that I felt towards him, that was, it has been very sweet. I feel like it is, like he said, it has really, you know, even through our marriage, it established a trust that he would be willing to open himself up and share like that even before he had to. And that was a big stepping stone for us.
Thank you.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.